It's Thursday, January 8th, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 93, Junk Shot. Runtime for this episode is 42 minutes.
Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast with no British people. My name is Jeremy.
I've got a mean backhand. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Ed.
That's more Irish than it is British.
Same
Ed.
Thing.
It sounded Scottish
it
to
sounded
me.
It sounded Cockney to me, so. Although Ed's Welsh, we've decided, so.
They're all the same thing, and my name is Zach.
Yeah, just like Master Chief and Shepard are the same guy, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, I can see that.
No.
Yeah.
It's declared no.
No, I've okay. just declared it so. You're outvoted 3-1.
I'll go with Zach on this one. Master Chief is not Shepard. Master Chief is Femme Shepard.
Okay.
I will hurt
and
you.
And Cortana is male Shepard?
Actually, that'd be pretty cool. Think about that. He just sounds like a guy because of the suit.
And actually, he can't be a chick.
Why?
You actually see the fact that he can't be a chick.
Wait, they have a junk shot?
They don't. But in the
episode title.
At the end of Halo 4, they actually remove his helmet. You don't see his full face, but the structure around what they do show you.
Maybe she's just really butch.
Have you ever played around with the face editor in Mass Effect?
Or Skyrim? That's a face editor you can do some work with. Although, you can do a lot with the face editor in Saints Row 3 and 4, but you can't do anything with the body. So my brother tried to make Walter White, but then he just ended up looking like the buffest, most powerful cancer patient of all time. And then his
Muscle
friend
cancer.
Made Tom Selleck, and they went on adventures together.
I saw somebody with a bunch of screenshots from the Dragon Age Inquisition. They did the entire Game of Thrones cast.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
but that's
good.
Also sort of setting appropriate.
Yeah.
And can you be short enough to be Tyrion, though?
I don't know. It only did headshots.
You can't change your size unless you're changing it to a dwarf.
That works.
Yeah, that would work.
The Telltale Game of Thrones game is coming out really
it's
soon,
out.
Right?
It's out,
out
yeah,
already?
I need to play it.
I okay. need to wait for all the episodes to come out and then buy it for 20 cents.
Yeah, that's...
I need to ignore it like I do with everything else they make.
Yeah.
That would be the
man,
wrong
you're going
thing.
To hate Monkey Island.
I'm excited for Monkey Island, but not because I think it's a good game.
I'm excited for Monkey Island because I think it's a good game, although I've never played it, so I could
what
be
What have you played this week, Tyler?
That's a good question.
It hasn't been Game of Thrones because you're a slacker like me, and it hasn't been Monkey Island because it's not 1990-something.
What have I been playing? I mean, some Smash because that's just part of my daily routine. Now, the Conquest really helped with that because I had to go get my points for the day, which only takes like 5 minutes to pwn some noob on the internet. I don't know. What have I been playing? Oh, gods.
It's a tough existential question, I know. Like, who is best Bond, or...
No, actually, I don't think I've been playing much of anything. I've, Alex got me this, like, wooden, it's called the Temple of Heaven. It's something that you can occasionally see in the Chinese countryside. So she got me this fairly complicated wooden puzzle, and I put it together. I'm like, this needs painted. So I took it apart, and I'm now painting each piece individually. This is an unexpectedly time-consuming task, so...
Painting is not easy. I mean, it is easy, but it's not time-inexpensive.
I feel like you would have a lot of trouble with tolerances once you add paint to a wood puzzle.
It was already pretty loose with that anyway, so... Actually, the biggest problem is that it was too loose. I used loose the first time as in the tolerances were wildly varied. But mostly they didn't stick together well enough, so I'm hoping the paint will actually help them stick better because I don't really want to glue it.
I'm going to help you out with that. Save you some time. There's a section at Home Depot labeled spray paint.
No, I wanted to do acrylics on this, so that took way more time than I was expecting. And in fact, I'm still working on it at this moment. So
right now, as we record this podcast?
That explains that smell.
Yes, I've got paint drying right now.
Let's watch.
Touch.
She actually got it for me like 2 years ago as a Christmas present, and then I never built it the next year. So she just wrapped it up and gave it to me again.
And she's like, I'm wrapping
nice.
This again unless you put it together.
So yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
And I'm like, well, I should finally do it. I have a hard time doing something that isn't, like, visually entertaining for her while I'm at home. So I have, like, all these, like, random crap projects that I haven't been doing.
Does that count as re-gifting? Because you're not gifting it to somebody else. You're just giving them the same thing again.
No.
It's groundhog gifting.
I'm pretty sure that's her saying do the goddamn puzzle, but... So the puzzle was actually really easy. It's the painting each individual piece part. It's like a 3,000-piece puzzle. So.
Oh.
That's why when I need something painted, I give it to my buddy Steve, and he paints it.
Who's Steve?
Ed Zach's imaginary friend, who is also Master Chief and Fen Shep.
No, he's one of the gamers that
I've
play with.
Met him, but...
Yeah, you've met him.
He's still imaginary.
I think you've actually talked with him once, Tyler. A long time ago, like when Collector Mania was at the old location in Cottonwood.
That wasn't canon. I never actually went there in canon.
No, you were there.
Yeah, remember
I do remember you turning the wrong
there?
Direction out of that section.
Oh, God, yeah, I was in the car with you that time.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. No, that's not canon. That's alternate universe,
that's
Tyler.
That's canon. I was there.
So was I, laughing at you.
Ultimate Jeremy. Ultimate Jeremy has a way cooler haircut.
Ultimate Ed's been alive since the 40s.
Normal Zach's been alive since the pyramids. I just look young.
Does that mean Ultimate Zach is like a 12-year-old boy?
Girl.
12-year-old girl, yeah. She's a little weird.
God, the Ultimate Universe has gotten terrible.
It's going away, probably, maybe, almost certainly.
Except for Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, who's just going to be on regular Marvel Earth, being like, huh, I don't make any sense on this universe. But people like me, and I'm half black, half Latina, half gay, so I'm here.
Wait, how are you half gay?
He wasn't. A lot
is
of people
he
thought he was going to be gay, because, and there he'd be a threefer, but that never actually happened.
Mostly he exists because there were rumors that Danny Glover was going to be Spider-Man.
And maybe to try and get the Spider-Man license away from Sony. Did you see the leaked emails from Sony that confirms there won't be a crossover between Spider-Man and the Avengers?
Yeah.
Even though it would be nothing but a lucrative deal for Sony.
Yep. And their last movie was terrible.
That's why it would be lucrative, because they could generate goodwill.
Let's make a Venom movie and a Secret Six movie and a Black Cat movie. Then everyone will love us.
I liked Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Well, you're bad at liking movies, then. Nothing was likable in that movie.
The only
thing that was likable, they killed off at the end.
What? I really like Garfield as Spider-Man.
I do like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, and I like Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy. The one way they can redeem that movie is if Amazing Spider-Man 3 comes out.
Clone Saga!
No. And Emma Stone walks on with a red hairdo and says, "Hi, I'm Mary Jane now." That would be amazing. And I would be okay with it.
And then Clone Saga.
Okay, then you can do whatever you want.
Well, then they can have her on screen twice, one with different colored hair, and it's actually Clone Gwen.
Oh, yeah. They can do the Clone Saga from the Ultimate Universe where Clone Gwen Carnage is around.
Okay, then. I think we need to sell this to Sony, and...
This sounds like an overall horrible idea.
It would be better than Amazing Spider-Man 2, though.
It'd be
seen it.
Yeah, take my word for it, then.
Do not care to see it.
Why would I lie to you?
Amazing Spider-Man 2 wasn't that bad, except for, you know...
Except for, you know, the plot and the acting and
the
how they crammed all the supervillains in at the end and how they killed Gwen Stacy without really any emotional grounding to it.
Oh, what, she actually died? That's why she could come back as Mary Jane?
Yeah. Okay.
The only part that really bugged me was the whole, give me your spider blood. No, it'll kill you. And he didn't say, I've got a lab full of scientists.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, right, spider
blood. And the boss fight at the end that was all in CGI, and it looked like it was just a video game, but I couldn't even press X to not die. I should have been like, press X so Gwen Stacy doesn't die. And then if they killed her because you couldn't press X because it was a movie, it would have been a better movie. Anyway, that's not what I've been playing. Ed, what have you been playing?
I beat the Elite Four in Omega Ruby.
Oh, did they give them a sweet Pokemon League like in Kalos?
No, it's like you walk down
the hallway. That's one of the best stages in Smash Bros.
You walk down the hallway, you see like the Japanese-style building door opens. They do a element-appropriate lights coming on. You walk in, and then there's just the guy sitting on a chair in the middle of the room.
Is he at least not facing you so he can turn around dramatically?
Well, the fighter guy's got the chair backwards, and he's sitting on the chair sort of backwards.
Oh, is Bruno in that game again?
No. What's his name? I don't know.
Yeah. Then all the others, the chairs in the corner. When you're fighting the ghost-type person, right as the screen's fading to black, a small child sprite pops up in that chair.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That's actually kind
of
cool.
And they've got another one of the creepy ones that was in X and Y that said, you're not
the
one.
Oh, the elevator girl?
Yeah. They've got another one of those.
Oh, that's cool.
Says something slightly...
Are they mythology building? I wonder.
Yeah. They're like, no, you're not the... Ah! Never mind. So it says a little more. So I'm thinking the next one, maybe that'll actually get a payoff.
Maybe it'll be Pokemon Ghost World, or where you have to team up with Patrick Swayze and Casper, and I don't know.
Do you ever see John Dies at the End?
No, nor did I read it.
It's a good movie.
He doesn't die at the end, I think, so.
Spoilers.
It's an old movie.
It's like, wow, that is an old movie. The other thing I was playing is I played just a very little bit of Future Tactics, which is...
I forgot about that.
I was at the mall. They had a copy of it because my other copy was all scratched and didn't work. But it's a turn-based first-person shooter.
Huh.
It's really interesting. We played a...
This sounds like a really bad idea.
It's amazing.
It's actually really cool. It largely centers around where you leave your characters at the end of the turn in order to not get their faces sniped off. The ones we played, you each controlled two players, and you basically had a tank character and a high damage but no health character. And you kind of have to, like, figure out where you can go to shoot someone, how much you have to move to get into range, and then you have an amount of movement after you shoot based on how much you moved the first time. And then you can either shield, which consumes energy but you don't take much damage, rest, which just recharges energy, or heal, which consumes energy but also makes everything that hits you do like 12 times the damage. So it's actually really cool. It's a fun idea, if nothing else. And the music's catchy.
Yeah, and when you go to shoot, you put the target on, and it's got some artificial jiggle to it.
Yep.
So you stop the reticle, and then it does two sweeping lines, and you stop the lines.
Did you ever play that Kirby minigame, Megaton
Punch? Or I can just
punch?
Shoot them in the face, because I'm good enough at that.
No, not in this game.
Different sort of game, because variety is the spice of life.
Actually,
turn-based games.
I'm pretty sure it's cinnamon.
Turn-based does not go with first person.
I actually think you would enjoy this game.
You might, actually. This seems like it would be something that Zach would enjoy.
Also, have you ever played a first-person turn-based game?
No, there's a reason they don't make them.
Because no one ever thought of them?
Yeah, I mean...
Because they're an inherently bad idea.
Why are they a bad idea? Defend your position, Zach.
Okay. In first person, you are in complete control of your character. That is your guy. When you're doing a turn-based game, that is removing almost all aspect of control because it is either going through artificial hard stops, enforced on you based on movement points, targeting points, action points, whatever you want to call it. That is an artificial limiter on what you can do, which is not something that you normally see in a first-person game because you have that aspect.
You're only saying it's unusual, though.
So I was going to say, are you arguing from convention?
It doesn't work because you're taking control away from the player in an artificial manner in a game that is all about being in control of what your guy is.
It's not, though. It's not a game about being in control. That's kind of the point.
If it's in first person, it automatically... You are in control of this character. Hard stop.
What about a first-person game which was like a found footage movie where you're not in control of the character because you're watching a recording from a first-person point of view?
That sounds like a movie, not a game.
It does, actually.
Well, it depends on the gameplay, right? Maybe it's like a movie editor where you're trying to put in filters or stuff. I mean, I agree. It is very movie-like, but I don't think that a first-person perspective guarantees control.
You're coming at it very first-person, but it's really more tactical, and then you have first-person elements in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think the counter-argument would be in a turn-based game, you don't have complete control of your guy, right? I mean, is that basically what you're saying? You have all these artificial limiters of Roy can only move six spaces in a turn and then attack once.
Yes.
What's wrong with making that in first person?
It's the same reason why I didn't like Borderlands. I hit the guy, but the game, through its mechanics, said, no, you didn't, despite the fact that I saw it go through his right eye.
And you don't like Borderlands, and I don't either. But that doesn't make it a bad game, because lots of people really like it, and
I
it
do.
Scores very highly on reviews. It's obviously got stuff going for it. So, Ed, anything else you've been playing?
No, that's it.
Oh, wow. We're very low on games this week.
I played a lot of Pokemon.
Okay. Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of League. Me and Kevin got a couple of games in with the new AD carry, Kalista.
Is she super broken, OP town?
No, people are just stupid, and support mains are bitchy.
Little Mac OP.
I know. I've played League of Legends for 2 years. I know people are bitchy about terrible characters, but I haven't been playing League of Legends for the past 2 months, and I have heard a lot about Kalista being super strong, and she has a mechanic where she can't cancel her auto attacks, but if you move after an auto attack, you do a dash.
If you input a move command, that said, the inability to cancel her auto attacks, I didn't realize just how many auto attacks I actually cancel on a regular basis. Like, oh, no, I don't want to attack that guy, and you cancel it.
What counts as an auto attack? Like you move
when
from
you,
one move?
When you tell something to attack somebody, that's an auto attack.
Okay.
So like if you fight StarCraft, yeah. So like the Marine attack would be an auto attack.
Okay.
Her auto attacks are also canceled by losing vision of people. They don't connect. Everyone else's do. She has a very, 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 very low base attack speed. And her base movement speed, I think, is one of the slowest in the game at like 320.
Okay. It's on patch 420, so.
And
yes.
I'm looking forward to getting the next champion out. She looks like she's going to be a lot of fun.
She makes tunnels.
Yes, she makes tunnels. Ooh.
There's an innuendo here, but I'm not finding it.
Yeah, people are bitchy about Callista. She's not that bad. Support mains, I say, are bitchy because she has a mechanic where she can soulbind, and her ultimate grabs whoever she soulbound, and they can then throw themselves at people. It does no damage, but it applies a crowd control, and it works for a good engage tool. But
are you saying you can throw around enemies? And
no,
no,
teammates.
It has to be an ally.
It has to be a teammate.
And never mind. It's the one you choose at the beginning of the game.
And they get to choose where they go when you throw them.
I'm not interested anymore.
That was what I kind of figured you were going with. But people are whiny because people suck. But yeah, she's not that overpowered. She's kind of fun, but a little bit of Payday and a little bit of Dragon Age Origin or Dragon Age Inquisition. Basically the same three things I'm always playing. Me and Kevin have not been having a particularly good week this week in our wins. We had a really good game yesterday, but we've been having a lot of bad ones. We won a game where we were all three inhibitors and both Nexus turrets down to our opponents because they were terrible.
Your opponents? Yes.
Yeah. Our allies were terrible too. We're like, we have a good fight! And our AD carry's dancing around the outside of it, not actually doing anything. No wonder we're losing this fight.
So he wasn't an AD carry as much as an...
He was an idiot.
An idiot.
A lot of people play when they play League of Legends.
What, the idiot?
Yes.
But yeah, had a good game. Finally won a game on Syndra, which makes me happy.
Syndra's fun.
Yep. I pushed the delete button and killed my lane opponent.
Syndra is evil Jean Grey.
Oh, awesome. Not the Phoenix?
No. Also, her powers are create dark matter and then telekinesis that.
So, the movie Jean Grey?
Yeah, but not terrible.
Ah.
Wolverine doesn't stab her while regenerate. No, let's not talking about that movie. We've talked about one terrible comic book movie already this podcast. That's the limit.
Watched IEM.
Oh, yeah. IEM was fun.
Yeah.
IEM
was fun and sucked at the same time.
IEM is Intel Extreme Masters. It is a esports tournament. They have StarCraft tournament. They have a League of Legends tournament. It's the first League of Legends tournament since Worlds, basically.
My team
TSM
lost.
TSM got rocked, and it was
sad. Yeah, they got demolished. But
by this upstart team from Europe who had just qualified for play.
But they do have the best name.
Yeah, Unicorns of Love. And their mid laner is Power of Evil.
I learned something recently that the Scottish national animal is the unicorn.
Ah, sweet.
Wow. That explains the kilt.
Well, how does that explain the kilt?
Don't think about it too hard and you'll figure it out.
Unicorn spooch. Gotcha.
Cloud9 managed to still prove that NA is greater than EU by demolishing
all the European teams in the tournament.
Yep, by demolishing the win. Both Unicorns of Love and Alliance.
Isn't Cloud9 like mostly not American players?
No, Alliance
Cloud9
or Cloud9
is the only American team that is still all American.
Okay.
Yep. Wait, is Dig? I thought Dig was.
Dig has two Koreans.
Oh, now they do. That's
and
right.
And a Canadian. And two Canadians.
Well,
Canadians, two Canadians.
And everyone knows Canada's not part of North America.
Depending on who their jungler is, CLG is currently all American.
CLG signed Nick Smithy.
Oh, is he, what is he, Canadian?
He is either, he's
NA, I know that.
I think he is from the United States. He might be from one of the Polynesian, or not.
At any rate, there are a couple of teams that are pure NA, but Cloud9 is all American team.
Yeah.
USA, USA,
they've
USA.
They've got the only Super Saiyan in the LCS on them.
Balls or Sneaky? Which one?
Meteos, who's got the blonde hair and the...
Oh, yeah. Balls and Meteos and Sneaky are like amazing. They're the best three players in the NA right now, I think.
Sneaky Balls Meteos.
A whole bunch of people had signed that said, yeah, Balls, we're going deep.
I still remember
kick
him in
then,
just Balls
it.
Face.
I remember there was a thing on one of the casters. Balls died.
He's got kicked right in the name.
Yep. Balls got kicked right in the name. It was pretty good. But yeah.
Yeah, IEM was pretty fun to watch.
Except for the TSM games. That was pretty painful.
Yeah.
Twisted Fate Jungle.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Gambit jungle. That'll be
imagine
the easiest
throwing
way for you
Gambit
to figure
in the jungle with no clothes, and then he kills the entire enemy team. It does sound like a good comic, but it's not fun to watch when you're rooting for the enemy team.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be happening in the Savage Lands. And
But that would be Wolverine, not Gambit, right?
Gambit.
There's no one for Gambit to hit on in the Savage Lands.
Sure there is.
There's that one guy's wife, I guess.
Yeah.
But she's married and, like, loyal.
That's never stopped him from hitting on anyone before.
Fair play. Anything else?
Especially when naked. I mean.
No, I can't think of anything else if there was, so we're going to say no.
All right. I watched IEM. It was, like Zach said, fun. And then mostly I just played Garen's Greed. I started my Zeon campaign, which is a lot harder than the Federation because you have no control over Earth where all the resources are, and you start with very little money and no resources.
How were they ever a viable threat in the show then?
Because you can drop
mobile
suits.
Yeah, you have Zaku's and they have tanks.
Oh. Whoa. Well, then.
Also, colony drop.
Yes, and you can colony drop. But, like, you start...
I love that that's an actual thing you can do in that game.
It happens in every Gundam series. It really should be in a game that has Gundams in it.
The thing that I can't figure out is they're always dropping colonies from Lagrange points. How many colonies do they have in each Lagrange point?
quite a few, actually.
Okay.
Technically, if you had enough in the Lagrange point, you could make a Lagrange point between the colonies to keep them in further stable orbit around a Lagrange point.
Yo, dog, I heard you like Lagrange points.
So I made a Lagrange point around your Lagrange point so that you can keep your Lagrange point stable around your Lagrange point.
The game being in Japanese has hurt me a lot more on the Zeon side because I pretty much know... you with the white base, you pretty much want to say, yeah, Amuro, go kill all the Zeons. With Zeon, you have like harder choices. Like, I thought I could save Rambaral by developing the Dom fast enough. If you do that, he, instead of dying to the white base via hand grenade, captures the white base, the Gundam, the gun cannon, and the gun tank for you.
Oh, wow.
But I was one turn too late with it. Oh. And didn't realize what was going on because it was in Japanese. I let Garma die because he can rebel against you.
Huh.
If you let him live and your alignment is low. But then again, because I made Terra because of Japanese, I accidentally nuked my own forces, killed my own father, which is canonical, but then didn't die to my sister, which is also canonical, so she rebelled, and I lost due to the war taking too long. Luckily, I had a save from right after my nuking my own guys, and so I managed to do a playthrough where I did not have my sister rebel against me, and I was able to.
But you had still nuked your own people.
Yep. It's okay, it was for the greater good. The second part for Zeon is a lot more balanced, because the Dalaz fleet never shows up because Zeon won the war. You just start fighting the Aeyug and the Titans. And that was going to be an uphill battle, except for three battles in a row. I had a big Zam, and 15 enemy units just flew into the line of fire of the big Zam.
Well, that was convenient.
And I'm like, oh, okay, boom. You're all dead. Big Zam.
Big Zam OP.
I mean, it's only really powerful against enemies that are in a line, but they were right in front of it.
That is exceptionally convenient.
It's got a very limited fire arc and not great range, and it can't move and shoot in the same turn, unlike most mobile suits.
But it's giant.
But three battles in a row, they just fed into me.
One question.
Huh?
Did you launch the nuke from a mobile suit?
No, not that one. You can. You can build nuclear Zaku's and the GPO-2.
Wait, nuclear Zaku's?
Yeah, there's Zaku's with nukes.
So, Metal Gear.
Yeah, kind of.
With a Heat Hawk. Metal Gear with a Heat Hawk.
Every time you fire a nuke, but...
I'm okay with this.
I mean, you're already Zeon.
Yeah,
so.
My alignment's actually gotten high since I destroyed the Federation. But
you're like, oh man, maybe those guys weren't such dicks after
all.
Well,
now I have money. The main thing that lowers your alignment is going on raids for money and resources, but now I control the Earth, so I don't
and
need
the
to.
And the propaganda.
We're great guys.
You can only do propaganda when your alignment is really low, and it costs 12,000, which even controlling all of Earth and all but one area in space, I only make 11,000 per turn.
Wow, that is some...
Resources are really, really limited in this
game.
That is
serious propaganda.
Which is what makes it interesting, but it kind of sucks that you can only produce like three mobile suits per turn when you have like everything. But it also makes the game more interesting. So now I am sitting out of Axis, which is the only enemy territory I have to take before Char rebels against me, just getting my tech level up so I can have all the mobile suits.
Are you reliant on anyone else for higher tech level mobile suits like you were with the Federation?
Only a couple, which I've gotten. It's actually Axis. One of the guys will betray them and bring you stuff. or if they haven't shown up yet, they will just give you some stuff. Like the New Ezeal, which I think you're familiar
with.
Yeah, and the Cubilee, you need to get from them. I've also stolen the plans for the Psycho Gundam, but my enemy tech level is not high enough to produce it.
Wait, your opponents don't have a high enough tech level for you to build the Psycho.
You have a stat that's your enemy's tech level. That's how much your spies have stolen about your enemy's technology.
Uh-huh.
And that's not high enough for me for them to build the Psycho. But I've stolen the plans for it. So when it gets high enough, I can start building.
That's why I'm confused. You've stolen the plans for the
mobiles. But I haven't stolen the requisite tech, basically.
Oh, so like, they don't...
He got a blueprint, but his engineers are like, what does this doohickey do?
But I have Cubilees, so it doesn't matter. Cubilees are really strong.
You don't need a power source, you just need an
extension cord. Well, do you have enough new types to pilot them?
Yeah, because I instituted a cyber new type area, and I have 3 cyber new types from that. I have Lala, because she didn't die, and I have Cusco Eye.
But wasn't Lala's death like a major turning point in the series?
Yeah, but I didn't let Amuro kill her.
Oh, that was nice of you.
Yeah, Char still hates me, but...
What? Why?
I also... Char canonically hates the Zombies. He joined the Zeon army to get close enough to kill them. That's why he tells Garba, yo, the white base is totally over there, when it's not, and the white base kills him.
Good point. I forgot about that.
Then he gets mad at Amuro and fails to kill anymore until the end of the series, where he shoots Cassilio with a rocket launcher.
I really need to watch Gundam.
I mean, it's you don't, but it's also, it's not bad.
Somebody should do a Gundam Abridged.
That would
I'm
not be too
I'm kind of surprised
hard.
That doesn't exist, actually.
Abridged kind of went out of style. Team 4 Star is so good at it, but... So that made me like Gundam so much, I watched some Gundam Unicorn. It's pretty okay.
It is super broken in Dynasty Wars Gundam 3, but that's unrelated.
Because I wanted to take a break from Gearin's Greed and I have a PS3, I bought Dynasty Warriors Gundam Reborn.
Wow.
Also because I found out it has battleships that will give you support fire, and that's all I've ever wanted from the Dynasty Warriors Gundam series.
That's pretty fantastic.
Also has the Zaku Gunder from Seed Destiny, which is one of my favorite mobile suits.
The Zaku Gunder?
Gunner. It's the one Lunamaria.
Oh, it's got like a big cannon or something on it?
Yeah.
I kind of blocked out most of...
But the Zakus were cool.
Destiny.
And that's all I had going for it.
Yeah, well, they were cool. The mobile suits in that series were fairly cool. Just, it's like, the series was bad. Never watched Seed Destiny.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Lots of Gundam series are bad, though. So that's what I've been doing. Lots and lots of Gundam.
Have you ever seen any Macross?
No, I kind of want to.
Just for comparison purposes.
Yeah, I am morally opposed to Macross.
You like Mula Flaga, though.
Macross
I'm morally opposed to Macross because of the...
Because BattleTech stole from them and they sued them for it?
It was more complicated than that.
Macross is the reason that Starscream from Transformers can't stop halfway through transforming.
It's also where Mula Flaga comes from.
I have never heard of any of these things.
He's a character in Gundam Seed.
Oh, okay.
Who then comes back in Gundam Seed Destiny and it's terrible.
For no apparent reason.
He's like, you can survive in a vacuum, right? Because I did.
Because he can do the impossible.
Turns out he's actually Frieza.
Yes. All right. So speaking of Frieza,
Dragon Bowser!
Ball Z Tennis would be a game I would play.
That actually sounds amazing.
Yeah. Okay, normally I hate you, Frieza, but we're going to play tennis. Yeah.
We will play tennis to decide the fate of the world.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Oh, Goku would have the longest serve.
Well, the spirit bomb serve.
Yes. And then he would always whiff.
Their what's it called? Their court would be like
Namek.
The entirety of Asia. Okay, from Russia to Great Britain, that's the court.
I want them playing on a regular sized tennis court and just throwing destructo discs.
Reactions.
Or it could be like that one part of Cell Saga where they just fight in like a regular sized ring.
Yeah, they fight in a regular sized ring for like 20 seconds, and then they destroy the ring, destroy the entire area.
I mean, there were like 5
the
episodes of watching Hercule try to do stuff, so.
He's the greatest.
Hercule! Hercule! Hercule!
Mr. Satan. Mr. He does save the Earth in the end.
Kind of.
He convinces everyone to give Goku energy for the spirit bomb that kills Kid Buu.
I still want that to be a Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Kickstart saving the world.
If Kickstarter is still a thing when Team 4 Star gets there.
I see no particular indication that wouldn't. Anyway, Mario Tennis.
Yeah, Mario Tennis is one of the early Mario sports games, actually, on the N64. I believe it's only the second after Mario Golf.
Yeah.
I forgot that was a thing.
I
Made by the same people, Camelot.
What else did they make? The name
Mario
sounds
Party?
Familiar. Oh, okay.
Golden Sun.
I think they made Bomberman 64, but I'm not sure on that. They might have just published it.
They had a business?
I think they merged with someone and have a different name now.
I think that Nintendo bought them.
That's they made a third Golden Sun that looks pretty much amazing.
It's great, but it's got a cliffhanger.
So
probably the first one had too.
When it gets off a slow boat, I'll loan it to you.
Okay, so Mario Tennis, it's exactly what it says on the tin. It's a tennis game with Mario characters. It doesn't even have that much Mario, like, wackiness, like, say, Super Strikers or Sluggers.
Although,
has.
There's a little bit, because one of the fields definitely has the Mario Kart boxes, which I assume they keep in Princess Peach's basement and just, like, haul out for special occasions. I feel like they just keep all that stuff down there, and every time she sends a Toad down for something, she's just like, I don't know, keep punching boxes until I get a mushroom. And Toad's like, okay!
I'll punch your Peach. Nah, I messed up the joke.
There's an innuendo in here somewhere.
I messed it up, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, at any rate.
I failed you all.
All right. I'm kind of surprised. Is Toad a character in this?
Yes. No.
No, she's not.
Toad is not a character in this game. It's the first time we see Waluigi as a character.
Yeah, Waluigi was introduced in this game.
His voice is so bad.
Waluigi!
It should be all like, wah, instead it's all like, wah.
He also has a line. He's got a line that isn't his name at the opener.
What?
He says, what the?
Oh, he does?
Yes, he does. Rewatch the opening sequence.
So, Mario Tennis, like I said, it's a tennis game. You enter a tennis tournament, you can do singles or doubles. If you win, you get to go to a harder tennis tournament, which is on one of three different stages. There's the mushroom court, which is pretty standard, the clay court, where the ball doesn't bounce nearly as far, and then the star court, or the grass court, rather. It's the star cup, but it's the grass court, where you go much faster and the ball goes further, but doesn't bounce as much. Then there's the Bowser court, which we talked about. You don't play it at all in single player, but it's...
Well, you can play it alone, but it's not a tournament thing.
It's the most fun for multiplayer, though. It has the item boxes, like we said. It's also suspended above lava, and if you put all the weight on one side, the court leans that way.
And it's hard to go against the side it's leaning on. Easier to go down the other side, but if it's leaning severely to one side because Bowser's on the court somewhere, then it slows you down to go off to the other side.
Having very limited experience with this game, I feel like there's a level of mastery that I completely lack.
Yeah, Jeremy's clearly the best at this game.
I'm clearly the worst.
I mean, I think I played it the most for the assignment. I did all the tournaments once. You actually unlock three harder tournaments that are like a rainbow cruise and stuff, but you have to be all three tournaments with every character. And I'm actually surprisingly close just because I've owned this game so long, but I didn't really want to go through and do that.
I don't blame you.
Especially since the AI pretty much sucks.
I got midway through the clay court cup. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. Flower?
No, yeah, it's the flower one.
Yeah, that's what I was working through.
It's a pretty fun game, I think.
I mean, the doubles are fun, definitely.
It's kind of one of those party games. It's really simple, though. I think it's too simple to fly as a full game today. And it's kind of amazing it did it when it came out, but I really liked this game when it was new.
Well, yeah, I still think it's kind of good. It's, though, as Jeremy said, it's not really big enough to go alone.
But as a $10 game, I think that's a good price.
Yeah. One thing that I find interesting is that each character has a
different behavior.
I mean, it's like Mario Kart, where there are different classes. There are Mario and Luigi are all around. I think Waluigi is too.
Waluigi, actually. Yeah, I think.
Waluigi's technique.
There are technical characters, which like have a longer swing, but not as much power, and they aren't quite as fast. There are power characters, which have a lot more power, but are much slower. And then there are tricky characters, which are slower and have much smaller swings, they have a lot more control over the ball after they swing.
I think the tricky characters are all unlocks.
I thought you started with Boo.
You might, I can't remember.
Because I thought the unlocks were Donkey Kong Jr. and...
Koopa
I can't
Troopa?
Remember. Maybe Koopa Troopa.
Just, Donkey Kong Jr. keeps showing up. It's unfortunate.
What's wrong with Donkey Kong Jr.? He's my favorite character in this game, actually.
I wouldn't argue, it's just as a character concept, he seems really silly to me.
Oh, but Baby Mario.
That's much better.
Oh, there's also the ring game.
Yeah, there's a ring
game.
Which
I don't think any of us
which
played.
You hit balls through rings, it's like a home run derby type of thing, innuendo ad, say your line.
There's an innuendo here, but I can't find it.
It's your catchphrase now? It's on your fate character sheet?
Yeah, I get fate points for saying it.
Only if it's able to be used against you.
Well, I mean, it's when a girl tries to hit on him and there's an innuendo there and he doesn't see it.
Yeah.
That's the detriment.
See that coming. Nazi! We're Nazis!
No social security for Nazis.
Yeah, that's a bill that passed unanimously in Congress recently.
Well, I mean, yeah. National socialists don't deserve our hard-earned money.
The problem is, we don't know how much money we've been paying Nazis. But now we're not going to anymore.
America plays Mario Tennis. We haven't said much about this game, but there's really not much to say.
I mean, it's tennis. I mean, there are different
swings.
It's a surprisingly
good tennis game, too, for having Mario thrown in the front.
I feel like it would be, if you brought it out now, it would work better as a mini game in a Mario Party.
I don't know about a Mario Party, but maybe like one of the Mario Sports Mix games. You throw this in with like Mario 3v3 basketball and...
It's a little too big for a straight-up minigame, but like Jeremy said, you can package it in with like Mario 3v3 basketball, Mario 5v5 football. I don't know.
Accounting.
Yeah, Mario Accounting would fall under that. Mario's Bankruptcy.
Not for many years.
It's kind of hard to recommend this when you could be playing Smash Bros. Or Mario Kart, but I think it's worth it.
It's better than both.
Maybe the original Mario Kart. The original Smash Brothers still held up pretty well.
I actually think this is better than Smash Bros. 64, but not better than Melee.
I don't know. I mean, there were a bunch of different swings. I didn't really figure them out, but...
it doesn't really explain them to you because it's a sports game, and I had to look at a walkthrough to remember them. You can also charge up swings, which gives them more power, and...
Can screw you over if you're not careful.
Depending on which combination you hit A and B in, there are like 6 or 7 different swings, which are useful in different situations.
B? The only,
yeah.
Oh.
B tends to hit line drives.
It's also like, it's kind of like bunting with your tennis racket.
It won't let you stop charging unless the ball has either passed you or you've hit it.
Can you not just intentionally whiff a swing? No.
Have you tried?
I did try, but...
Yeah, it won't let you for whatever reason, so that's a little bit of a...
The items are also pretty uninspired. They're only on the Bowser court, but they're bananas, which are pretty okay. Shells, which are all right, but not great. And stars, which last 30,000 years. And mushrooms, just a generic power boost.
And yeah, having a star. A star doesn't make you invincible, but I suppose because it makes you last so long, I guess that's okay. But you have to listen to the star music for the hour and a half the damn thing lasts.
I really like how the bananas are placed on the field because you just put them on the tennis ball as you hit it back, and then it just drops off and it hits your opponent's court.
Whenever it hits the ground. So yeah, you can volley it back before it hits the ground and put it on your opponent's
side. And then lose that volley, and then you start the next volley with a banana on your side of the court that you put there. Poor foresight.
Yeah, the bananas will remain on your side, on any side of the court, until somebody steps on them or you get a court change or game.
All right. Anything else we want to say about Mario Tennis?
Why exactly do they score at 15, 30, 40?
That's a tennis thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but why?
I thought it was just a general question.
Okay. It's so that it looks like it has a more exciting game. It's a higher scoring game, so it must be more exciting.
Even though you can win with only 4 points.
I mean, I feel
No, you need to have at least, like, 60 points to win.
The way tiebreakers and serves work in this game actually gives me an appreciation for how well tennis is balanced.
That is true.
But it's just tennis. It's not unique to this game. The tiebreakers are actually a lot of fun if you ever got to one of those. If you have a set tied 2-2, you go to a tiebreaker where you need 7 points instead of...
Oh.
And it's scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And each...
Although
like,
you still need to win by 2, so you can still deuce at 7.
Okay. And each...
And serve changes every serve.
So every time you have a different server.
I gotta say, my own enjoyment of tennis would be greatly enhanced if I could spontaneously generate shells to huck at my opponents, but...
I would like to see a sequel to this, or just it thrown in a Mario Sports Mix with...
Have they not followed this up?
There hasn't been a... No, there was Mario Power Tennis on the GameCube. I never played that, though.
Potentially
and Mario
good.
And Game Boy, which was...
There was a Mario Tennis on the Wii.
That might have been, they remade Power Tennis with the Wii controls.
Okay.
It was one of those like they did with Metroid Prime.
There was Mario Tennis on the Virtua Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that Nintendo made that thing? Yeah,
for when you don't want to see the color red anymore.
Oh, that reminds me, we can end on this. 3 weeks ago, I got to use an Oculus Rift and talk about it on 3 podcasts.
How was that?
it didn't have much good software, and I almost immediately got the headache. Like, after it was done, I couldn't drive home. I had to, like, take a walk in the cold.
It wasn't one of the Crystal Coves?
No.
Okay.
I did a roller coaster, which was interesting. Like, looking behind me and seeing an Indiana Jones boulder there was a real interesting experience. And, like, something psychologically, like, when fire was blown at me, I suddenly felt really warm.
Huh.
And that was cool. Then they had this game where you controlled a dragon, and it would, like, fly where you were looking. And unfortunately, my headache was getting bad then. It just wasn't a very good game. I really would have liked to play it with some more interesting software.
Yeah, something more than a tech demo.
Yeah, but it was, like, the roller coaster was interesting.
I did something similar the other day. I was at Barnes & Noble, and they had basically Google Cardboard.
What? How is that different from regular cardboard?
It comes with two lenses, and you fold it up and stick your smartphone in it, and it's a not Oculus Rift.
Huh.
It works surprisingly well, and it didn't give me a headache, but I don't tend to do that stuff.
Anyway, that's true. So Mario Tennis, pretty good game. I would recommend you buy it.
Better first person with an Oculus Rift?
No, I don't think so. Although, that would be interesting.
Whose turn is it?
Yours. Oh,
yeah. No, he picked what? This. I think it's my turn.
Don't I normally go after Zach? No, you do.
Do you? I was going to say, because Ed picked Fallout. You picked King's Knight. All right.
It is Jeremy's turn.
I'm sorry. I picked King's Knight.
You did.
You're not at this.
Well, we've played a lot of cartoon mascot games. We've played Sonic. We've played Mario. We've played Mega Man. We haven't played Bonk, though. Bonk's Adventure is a series on the...
Oh!
On the... what's it called? It's not the Neo Geo. It's the other con... The TurboGrafx-16, that's what it is.
The hell Bonk's is a TurboGrafx-16?
Premium.
That's why we have this podcast.
And we haven't played any of Bonk's Adventure yet. So next time on Last Time, Bonk's Adventure. Bonk! This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.
Let me amend my previous laugh to the Titus laugh.
Ha 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 ha! Titus laugh already.
Jeremy, no, it wasn't quite.
I'm gonna need you to edit out the Titus laugh.
Oh, don't worry. There's a button in Audacity for remove Titus.
I'm not actually that surprised.